Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like to hear the second hour, just visit patreon.com/snmeradio and become a patron. This gives you access to the weekly shows and all the podcasts that we do as well. It's patreon.com/snmeradio.
The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Cormier calls out Lesnar again. Lesnar is the Universal Champion again. And WWE presents a bad show in Saudi Arabia again. Welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event. We are Canada's premier wrestling radio program, and we've got 2 hours of wrestling and MMA chatter and so much to talk about this week. UFC 230, Crown Jewel, Survivor Series, and ROH in Toronto, and here's who we're going to talk about it with. My social media exploded when Shane McMahon won the World Cup tournament to determine the best in the world, but it wasn't just complaints. Okay, there were a lot of complaints, but it was you listeners asking to hear the opinion of Dan the Mouth Lavransky, notorious Shane McMahon hater. So he will join me on the show today to give his thoughts on Crown Jewel and also preview an event that he'll be attending next week as ROH War of the Worlds hits Toronto next Sunday night. Now, Mouth is going to be there, as well as my second hour guest on tonight's show, former Ring of Honor champion and leader of the Peacock Nation, Dalton Castle, will join me to chat about his return to the ring after a long list of injuries put him on hiatus. Plus, Turnbuckle Trivia, Dave Meltzer, and the Wrestling Observer Insider, and your feedback. Now, no phone calls tonight, but that's why patrons got this show at 11 p.m. sharp. No need to wait for the NFL when you're a patron. But let's kick things off with getting you informed on a very busy week in the world of wrestling.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Brock Lesnar, when you come, bring that brand new WWE title to. I feel like being a WWE champion too. Let's go! Let's go, Brock! Bring that belt with you if you come to my house.
And that was Daniel Cormier after he defeated Derek Lewis last night at UFC 230. Cormier called out Brock Lesnar, who, as we'll talk about, is your new WWE Universal Champion after defeating Braun Strowman at Crown Jewel. And as you could tell, Cormier was well aware of that because he's a huge WWE fan. And that's one of the reasons why Fox has been chasing him to be a part of the SmackDown announced team when the WWE moves to Fox in 2019, which makes this a very interesting scenario for all parties involved. So although we're unsure as to what's happening with Brock, the plan with Cormier is he'd like to retire before his 40th birthday, and that's on March 20th, 2019. With the call-out last night and previous in-octagon angle, Cormier wants Brock in the first quarter of 2019. If that can't happen for some reason, then Cormier wants a rematch with John Jones at light heavyweight, because he's also the light heavyweight champion. However, if Jones refuses to fight or loses in his currently scheduled fight to Alexander Gustafsson, then Cormier's not interested in Gustafsson. He will remain at heavyweight and give Stipe Miocic a rematch. Got all that? Yeah, Cormier is quite the matrix of UFC right now because he's a draw. And so are all of his opponents. And this guy's great. I wish only the best for Daniel Cormier and beating anyone he ends up in the octagon against for a very successful, pleasant, and lovely retirement. Okay, moving over to the WWE, we're going to spend a lot of time today talking about Crown Jewel, which was largely considered a mess of a show for no apparent reason. I mean, except for the main event, which we can get a bit of a reason for, and that is that the WWE has reported Triple H suffered a torn pectoral muscle in the match and will need surgery to repair it. Now, this explains why Shawn Michaels was left to work the majority of the match versus Kane and Undertaker. It did not, however, explain why Shawn opted to do a moonsault off the top rope to the outside and land on his face when Taker nor Kane caught him. Apparently, he's okay, and we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. What this also brings up for discussion is, you know that angle that Dave Bautista came back to do? Well, if Triple H is getting pec surgery, that puts that in jeopardy as well. Naturally, coming out of this performance, the big question is, will Shawn Michaels wrestle again? Well, why speculate when you can just hear it from the man himself as WWE posted this clip on their YouTube page?
I'll be feeling it for the next several days. It'll be a very good reminder of why I didn't do it for 8 years and why I'm not going to do it again, if I can possibly help it.
If I can possibly help it, he says. Does that mean, well, you know, if my friend asked me to, I'll do it? This doesn't even deserve a never say never moniker. There's always going to be demand for Shawn Michaels, and there's always going to be a payday available, and his best friend is basically running the company. I say, expect it. Looking ahead to this week in WWE TV, both Raw and SmackDown will be on tape delay as the WWE is over in the UK. Now, the reason why we didn't see Ty Dillinger get his US title shot on TV this past week is because on Monday night, he injured his hand at a house show and was flown to Birmingham, Alabama to get surgery on his hand. Dillinger tweeted about the surgery and is unknown in regards to what his recovery time will be. As was referenced this week on WWE TV, Survivor Series will once again be a Raw versus SmackDown affair. Announced on TV this week was Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey. That's a non-title affair, though. WWE then announced later that the IC champion Seth Rollins will take on Shinsuke Nakamura, who is the US title holder, of course. And Universal champion Brock Lesnar will take on AJ Styles, which is the exact same match that happened at last year's Survivor Series. So the more interesting question is, will parity booking come into effect? And will AJ get a win over Brock? Survivor Series weekend will also feature the return of War Games in NXT. The War Games match will feature the Undisputed Era taking on Ricochet, Pete Dunne, and the War Raiders. Also on that card will be Tommaso Ciampa defending his NXT title versus the Velveteen Dream. And Aleister Black looking to get his revenge on the recently heel-turned Johnny Gargano. Now, there will be another big return that weekend. Well, in Sunday night's main eventsville, anyhow, as Bartender Dave will return after a far too long hiatus. Dave is going to be joining me for a Patreon-exclusive podcast on a review of NXT War Games. Of course, Dan the Mouth Ransky will co-host this Sunday night show with me. And if you're in the Toronto area, you should be joining me on Friday night at Comedy Bar. That's November the 16th for Survivor Strikes. This year, it'll feature Andrew Fung, star of Kim's Convenience, which is a sitcom on CBC and Netflix, and he is a huge wrestling fan. Tickets are on sale right now. Check him out at the very top post at SundayNightsMainEvent.com. And come on down and hang out for a whole bunch of wrestling comedy. It is a fun night. Looking beyond Survivor Series, the SAP Center in San Jose, California will be the location of the December 16th TLC pay-per-view and is advertising Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose for the IC title, Rousey versus Jax for the women's title, and Strowman versus McIntyre. But it's wrestling, so naturally that card is subject to change. Just telling you what's out there, could be where they're headed to. In the most ironic and slightly tone-deaf story of the week, I say slightly, that's not true, it's tone-deaf. Shane McMahon, while in Saudi Arabia, tweeted out plugging the movie A Private War. Now, this is a movie that his wife, Marissa McMahon, produced. The movie is opening in the middle of November and is about Marie Colvin, an American who worked for a UK paper and covered Syria during the war there. She was critical of the government, and there is a belief that the Syrian government killed her in 2012. And Shane supported this while the WWE was in Saudi Arabia. Moving on. If you didn't cancel your WWE Network subscription in protest of Crown Jewel, WWE has debuted two new digital series that you can check out. The first is a cooking show with good old Kathy Kelly called Talking Snack, where she talks and cooks with WWE talent. And the first episode's real doozy, The Boogeyman. Great start. The second series is equally as exciting. It's called Baron Corbin's Haunted World, where Corbin will investigate locations said to be haunted. The first episode is at the St. Augustine Lighthouse in Florida, where ghosts of three little girls have been said to haunt the grounds. Woo. Some notes from New Japan Power Struggle. Chris Jericho successfully defended the IWGP Intercontinental title against Evil, defeating him with the Lion Tamer. Jericho then reapplied the Walls of Jericho after the match, and Naito made the save and then issued a challenge to Jericho, who quickly retreated to the back. In a backstage interview, Jericho refused the challenge, saying there would be no match anywhere. So, of course, that will build up to there being a match. And speaking of Chris Jericho, if you want to see some matches from the Jericho Cruise, you can. Fight TV and ROH Honor Club are offering up a special, that is, with matches that include the Young Bucks and Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega, Marty Scurll, and Cody. That wraps up the news for this week. When we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on Crown Jewel. And following that, Dan Lavransky to give his opinion on Shane McMahon, who is now the best in the world. We'll see how Mouth feels about that. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Hey there, it's Nug Nargang from Sportsnet's Aftermath. And if you like wrestling and improvised comedy, then why don't you come on out to Comedy Bar for Survivor Strikes on Friday, November 16th at 11 p.m. Jason Agnew combines all the things you love about wrestling and comedy into one show, plus all the things you hate about wrestling, like the fans. That's Survivor Strikes at Comedy Bar, Friday, November 16th at 11 p.m. It's the crown jewel of entertainment. Oh, too soon? Sorry.
Unbelievable!
Out the rally!
That's it! That's got to be
it! F5 on Strowman! And Brock Lesnar wins the Universal Championship!
Here is he!
And there you have it. Brock Lesnar is your new Universal Champion. Well, Universal Champion once again, I guess. In what I don't even consider being a surprise coming out of Crown Jewel, because you just kind of knew that the WWE had to do something, well, I'll use the word surprising, but I don't mean it, something different at Crown Jewel in that match. Now, granted, I mean, I didn't really like the way it was done with Baron Corbin getting involved, but I guess the point there was to make it so that immediately Braun Strowman is at a disadvantage and then you hit him with all those F5s. But remember how we saw a year of Brock Lesnar hitting one F5 and nobody kicking out? And all that was done just to build up to his Roman Reigns match? Well, now, if you see the F5 done over and over to a guy and it doesn't knock him out, like, this completely desensitized me to seeing the F5 with what they did with Braun Strowman. And granted, it's very impressive to see Brock Lesnar pick up a man that is Braun Strowman's size and give him the F5. But when we see it done four times after also being hit by the belt, it's like, well, he's not Superman. He's just a big dude. John Cena, Superman. Anyhow, we saw that. I didn't so much mind that, and it's interesting always to see the way Brock Lesnar plays out both UFC and WWE, and I'm guessing we see Brock Lesnar on Monday night? Or maybe not. I mean, Brock Lesnar as the elusive champion who only shows up once in a while, to me, still harkens back to what Hulk Hogan used to be, where you didn't see him every week on TV. So it was very special when we saw Hulk Hogan then and when we see Brock Lesnar now. So I don't mind it that much. However, I do feel that it is rewinding here. I mean, I would have been fine if Brock Lesnar went away for a while, but I guess due to what happened with Roman Reigns, WWE and Vince McMahon in particular felt a little handicapped and felt that maybe Braun Strowman wasn't the guy to carry the company. And if he was, well, maybe it was a matter of who's there to put him in a feud with. Because who is on top on the Raw side that you can put Braun Strowman in a feud with? Is it Drew McIntyre? Because Drew McIntyre, to me, is still a bit of a stretch. I mean, for those of you who listen to this show on a regular basis, Drew McIntyre is not someone that I've really bought into. He's gone away. He's come back. But even in his comeback, I didn't find that he really sparked my interest in NXT, and he's not sparking my interest on the main card either. That is where you're playing to. So said that leak for TLC. It's supposed to be Braun versus Drew, but that's not a main event feud for me. So I guess having the name of Brock Lesnar being there, being a part of WWE, as his name is still sprinkled all over UFC as well, is a draw and is a mainstream draw that the WWE feels that they need. Now, also on the Crown Jewel card, and we will talk about it extensively with Dan the Mouth of Ransky in the next segment, is Shane McMahon winning this title. Listen, I watch a lot of wrestling. We all watch a lot of wrestling. Rarely do I get angry, I think is the word here. I got angry. I got fed up. It's not even anger because you have to care to be angry. And it's not like I care. I just watched this take place and saw Shane McMahon hop into this match and was just fed up at all of this build for the World Cup to determine the best in the world, yada, yada, yada. You have Angle in there. You have Rey Mysterio in there. You have a few good workers like the Ziggler's of the world. Even Miz would have benefited from this as well to carry it around and shoot off his mouth. And then ultimately, out of all of the storylines you could have done here, Angle winning and playing out the veteran coming back, Rey Mysterio winning and having him now make his way towards AJ Styles, the Miz winning and being able to put another note on his resume to say how great he actually is, despite what people say about him. Seth Rollins winning just because he has to be elevated to be the main guy on Raw. These are all better options than Shane McMahon. This seems like the worst possible option, and it wasn't even an option that was on the table. And I mean, I talked about the fact on the podcast that maybe, you know, any publicity is good publicity. Oh my goodness, this is not though, because now this is going to have to be something that we watch. And it's another McMahon that is a heel? I don't need to see Shane on TV. I don't need to see Shane in the ring. Some people clearly do like him. But the last thing we need is another heel McMahon. Because I don't even think Shane plays it all that well. But I digress. I'll leave more of this for Dan Lavransky to touch on in the very next segment. One more note here, of course, was the main event, the return of Shawn Michaels. Now, I've never been the biggest Shawn Michaels fan, but I surely do see the value in his return and how attractive this could be. I mean, many regard Shawn Michaels as the greatest of all time. Now, he's coming back for the money, and we know all of that. I thought he looked very bald. It was strange for me to watch Shawn Michaels without any hair. Wrestling, but I mean, once I got over the aesthetics, I thought that Shawn looked pretty good. Listen, he's not the guy that he was 20 years ago, but the fact of the matter is, here's a match that you're diving back into after having not been in the ring for many, many years. On top of that, you're working with Kane and The Undertaker, who are very restricted. I mean, this isn't a match of Shawn Michaels going in and facing Daniel Bryan, which we all want to see. Shawn Michaels versus AJ Styles. That would be fun. Instead, he's in there with Kane and The Undertaker, both guys over 50, I think, or maybe Kane's 49. Anyway, and his partner's Triple H. So at least he's in a tag match where he can offset how much work he has to do. Well, that is thrown out the door when Triple H goes down with this pec injury. So Shawn has to work the entire match. Considering where he's coming from, who he had to work with, Triple H not being there, I thought Shawn did a pretty damn good job. He's not the Shawn Michaels of old, but it was interesting. And I do think that because of this performance that he put out, there is going to be a draw for Shawn Michaels to work a match in North America. And in what he said that I played in the news pack there, that clip about he'll try to avoid it. It wasn't a no. And in the wrestling world of never say never, this, he didn't even say no. So never mind never say never. I do feel it's going to happen. Ultimately, I think not this year, because not happening, but next year. That's right. Another year down the line, I'd almost put money on it that Shawn Michaels and Triple H will be in the ring together at WrestleMania. Because it seems like that, you've heard it from Dave Bautista already, where he just wanted to come back to have that match against Triple H. And I feel as though because Shawn, Triple H came up together, the DX thing, all of that, I think they want that history kind of put to bed together. And maybe that could happen at WrestleMania. Not this year, but next year. Anyway, that is just my opinion. If you want to hear a complete review of this show, of course, we did a Patreon-exclusive podcast. Jake from Chicago joined me, and we give you an hour giving you all the details on Crown Jewel. That is available at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Going to take a break now, and when we come back, the booming voice of Dan the Mouth of Ransky and his thoughts on Shane McMahon being declared the best in the world. That is next. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event right here on TSN Radio.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Wrestling fans, my name is Andrew Fung, and I am a two-time Canadian Screen Award winner. But my biggest victory came when I destroyed five other comedians at last year's Summer Strikes. On Friday, November 16th at 11 p.m., I make my return to the Comedy Bar stage to defend my title at Survivor Strikes. Join me to watch the deconstruction of any sorry team that they put in front of me. Get your tickets now at SundayNightsMainEvent.com.
And now Shane going toast. Oh! Are you kidding me? Not like this! Not this way!
Welcome back. It is Sunday Night's Main Event here on TSN 1150. And when that happened, when Shane McMahon became the best in the world, my Twitter and Facebook blew up. And it wasn't just out of anger of that happening, but it was more so a request to hear the opinion of one Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Mouth, it's been so many years of you just despising Shane McMahon. I believe I heard you across the city of Toronto when this took place, because you were watching this live, right?
Yes, I did, Jay. Yeah, I did actually manage to get off the day on Friday, and I sat down and I put it on, and yeah, I could not believe it. I mean, you know, like you say, the best in the world, the guy's not even in the tournament. The tournament itself was pretty lackluster to begin with, right?
It was really weird. Mouth, yeah. It was completely weird.
Well, and calling it best in the world and then having no one from outside the United States in it.
Did you get a hint of the pokes at Jericho or pokes at Punk with the way that The Miz was using that term?
Phrase. Yes. Especially, I thought at Punk more than anything. Absolutely. That's the first one that came into my mind, yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that because, I mean, I feel as though, you know, we say never in wrestling, but Punk, I would almost say never about returning. And Jericho, it's just a matter of he'll go where people want him and where he sees good opportunity. And the fact that now, especially, Mouth, you know, Shane McMahon is clearly going to now go on a delusional tangent and turn heel, I believe is the plan here. I don't know if this is leading up to Shane and Jericho at WrestleMania.
Oh, well, I mean, maybe they could be going in that direction. That's a, in my opinion, it's a total waste of Jericho if you go that route. But
agreed.
I mean, they could be going that way. You know how I feel about Shane McMahon. I've always hated the thing about the boss's son going out there and being instantly placed in the main event. And even if it hadn't been him, this whole idea of someone that's not even in the tournament winning the tournament, like I just hate stupid stuff like that. And I was so upset, Jay, that I almost like, I almost thought it was legit at first. I almost thought that Miz was legitimately hurt and that Shane McMahon was taking it upon himself to throw himself into that match because I know the ego on the guy, and I'm just like, this is, but then once it got going and the fact that he actually won, I'm like, okay, no, this is obviously all an angle here, but just unbelievable. On a show that really didn't deliver in most other areas either, having something like that, I just thought it was terrible.
Okay, well, what do you say to this? I mean, here you have a show that, yes, was loaded with controversy going into it, and Hogan returned to spout out his catchphrases, but this could have just slipped by as an event that no one talked about, no one cared about. What about the any publicity is good publicity? Because people are talking about this. Wrestling fans are talking about this for better or for worse.
Yeah, I guess in terms of that, you definitely got their attention for sure. The theory that I find the funniest floating around is that this is actually supposedly the WWE giving the finger to Saudi Arabia by there's all this controversy. You're a bad country. You do things you shouldn't do, and now we're going to give you a crappy show. Like I just don't buy into that at all.
That's a ridiculous theory because look at the structure of the show in regards to what the Saudi Arabian audience wanted, and they wanted a lot of nostalgia. They got Angle, they got Mysterio, they got Hogan there, and they got Shane McMahon. And the funny thing is, despite what I and definitely you think, Shane McMahon, you remember when he came back on SmackDown and how big that was? The crowd went crazy, Mouth.
They did. It could be that. But the thing is, you've done it now, Jay. Now where do you go from here? Does this mean, like you said, is he turning into some evil heel character? Is he going to be wrestling every week?
I don't foresee that happening, but I mean, the heel turn and another heel commissioner that is a McMahon, perhaps a united front of the McMahons, could very well come up.
And that's something that hasn't been tread into the ground for like the past 20, 30 years. I'm so sick of seeing heel McMahon characters in the leading the program role. I'm just tired of it. It's old, it's sad, it's pathetic. Yeah.
It's all of those things. I agree. All right. So Shane was definitely the highlight slash low light for you on the card. But we also had the return of Shawn Michaels. And in a match where Triple H was hurt with the pectoral injury, that really put the emphasis on Shawn. I didn't understand what they were doing when I did my review. And I was like, I don't understand why it's Hunter that's being given the hot tag. Well, clearly everything was messed up in that match. Yeah. But it put the emphasis on Shawn there. It put the emphasis on his work rate and what did you take out of Shawn Michaels returning?
I didn't think he should have returned. Not because necessarily of his performance, Jay, but because a guy like him, who really will, you know, much like an Austin, wants to put on the best show that he can put on, and really he couldn't do that. He really wasn't in the shape to do that. And I think he readily admitted that after the show, that he went, okay, like this is, I'd understand now why I should stay away. And I was also worried he was going to hurt himself because when he did that moonsault onto Kane and Taker at one spot, he almost landed on his head because they didn't catch him. And I just thought, sure you're making a ton of dough, but he could have also seriously hurt himself really badly in that match. And the match itself was definitely not something to write home about.
Well, I think part of that was because of the injury that happened to Triple H and the chaos that ensued. I, however, do think this match was much more palatable than the Undertaker-Triple H match that happened at the Australia show.
Well, sure, because Taker didn't have to be in there all the time.
Right.
But I honestly, to quote Captain Beefheart, I just saw it as old farts at play.
Okay.
Like, it was just, it's not what I wanted to see in the main event. I thought, you know, because of, I guess, whether it was because of Triple H's injury or not, it was slow, it was plodding, it went way too long.
All right, well, we're not going to get into Brock Lesnar here because I'm going to talk to Dave about that and the UFC ramifications around it. But instead, let's talk to you about something that you're actually looking forward to. And that is that next weekend, next Sunday, you're going to be attending ROH Global Wars. And it's taking place, that's November 11th, Remembrance Day. And we'll remember Maple Leaf Gardens because that's the only name that I will call this building.
That's right.
This is a fun place to see a show. I mean, I've seen NXT there. I've seen Ring of Honor there.
Yep.
Now, for you, I mean, I know you grew up in Brantford, but did you get to go to Maple Leaf Gardens?
Oh, yeah. Quite a few times, Jay. In the heyday of Hulkamania, my buddies would often come down to see shows at Maple Leaf Gardens because they were just so often. They ran once a month at Maple Leaf Gardens back then. There was all the time. So, yeah, I saw Hogan versus Kamala there. I saw Hogan versus Butch Reed, you know, Hart Foundation against the Bulldogs. I saw a lot of great shows at Maple Leaf Gardens.
And if you go down to this event, for anyone that does happen to be going, if you haven't been before, you're not going to recognize where you're sitting and where you are. The only thing you may recognize, if you look up at the roof, it is the same roof that you'll remember from perhaps when you were a kid going to see hockey games or wrestling games.
Right, right,
the same
exactly.
It's not insulation.
It's not as big as the old Maple Leaf Gardens, right?
No, it's not. The weird insulation that looks kind of like asbestos. Anyhow, so on this card, it's Global Wars. What are you looking forward to here?
Well, unfortunately, for the Toronto show, only 5 matches have been announced, whereas if you look at the other 3 cities that are on the tour, in Lewiston, Lowell, and Buffalo, they have got pretty well full matches, full cards announced, 7-8 matches. But to me, there's lots of good stuff on this one. The Young Bucks against Chris Sabin and Kushida will definitely be a hot match. All 4 of those guys will work really, really hard. Sabin and Kushida work really good together as a tag team. I think Dalton Castle and Juice Robinson against Naito and Bushi, I think, will be a pretty good match. Certainly when the New Japan guys come to Ring of Honor and they come to Toronto, they always get a big response. They should do really well. And, you know, the build, I mean, I'm actually looking forward to Jay Lethal and Kenny King, too, after what they did on the TV this week. They kind of fired that one up a little bit on the TV. But I kind of like Kenny King turning into this kind of smarmy heel character after his run on The Bachelor. They've kind of turned him into almost like a smarmy kind of I'm great kind of guy. And I think he's quite good at it. So even though maybe not, you might not think the best contender for Lethal, I'm actually looking forward to that match too.
I still feel like Lethal is a bit of a transitional champion, just considering that he had the belt and then lost it and it was put back on him, but he just doesn't seem like the guy to be carrying ROH at the moment in this time that we're working with, when outside of the WWE, it's Cody and the boys that are getting all the publicity as opposed to Lethal, you know, holding this gold.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know if Ring of Honor is being careful because they you're never quite sure what Cody and the Bucks are going to do, and that they're just kind of keeping it on Lethal for the moment. But by the same token, I don't know who else on the roster would really fit in the title in that role.
Well, I'll ask you this. How long till Jeff Cobb has that title?
Okay, fair enough, Jeff Cobb. And I would assume that Jeff Cobb will be on the Toronto show. He's on every other show.
Right.
So I would assume he'll be on the show. Plus, he's also known to Toronto audiences from working with Smash and a lot of the other promotions. He's done matches up here before. I could see it happening. They've certainly put the push on. I mean, I don't know if you saw the match on TV where he won the TV belt from Martinez. But he beat him in, like, you know, less than 2 minutes.
Well, that was also Punishment Martinez making his way to NXT as well. He just made his debut this weekend.
They could have still given him a more of a match. I mean, it really was basically a squash.
Which makes sense, don't you agree?
It does, for sure. I mean, you want Cobb to come in strong. I mean, Cobb's kind of like your new Samoa Joe, right?
Yeah.
And he's got big monster powerhouse. So, I mean, it could certainly head in that direction. I don't know if they would head quite there quite right away since he just won the TV belt.
Right.
But I could see him heading there to it eventually. Absolutely, yes.
All right, so you're going to be down there next Sunday at Global Wars. Say hello to the mouth. He'll be the loud one in the audience.
That's right.
If you are down there. And the next time you're going to be back on this show, at least live in studio, because we're going to, of course, do our six-pack challenge.
I'll get beat again.
You really need to make better choices.
I know. I did terrible on Evolution. Great show, but terrible picks by me, yeah.
So that is coming up for Survivor Series. You'll be back here in studio. Mouth, once again, Survivor Series-wise, they're doing Raw versus SmackDown.
Yeah. Yes.
Is this appealing to you? Because to me, it just kind of, it puts a hold on every other program.
Right. And they never mean anything in the end, right? Like, there's no payoff. One of the things that's such a problem with a lot of modern wrestling is there's no payoff in the end. Nothing ever changes. It's a couple weeks of our brand beat your brand, and, like, that's it. So if there was some sort of motivation or something to it, like guys would be moved from brand to brand or some sort of stakes, I think it would be better. Excuse me, but having said that, I do look forward to seeing AJ against Brock Lesnar.
Again.
Yeah.
It's a rematch of last year's Survivor Series. Now, the one thing with this is Brock Lesnar does like AJ Styles, like as a person, like he's a big fan. I'm like, it's a non-title affair, and does AJ get retribution here? I'm actually guessing AJ is, oh no, should I give you my pick? Because then you'll know for our challenge. But I think AJ might win this due to interference from Braun Strowman.
Oh, they could go that route. I mean, if that's what they're planning to do, they've got to do something with Braun. I mean, just after killing him at the crown jewel there, that was just terrible. But I could see definitely something's going to happen. And I guess it's all based on Lesnar too. Is he staying? Is he going?
Yeah. Well,
like
he's,
you know, after what Cormier said after his win last night, you know, he called him out again.
He's got a few months, though. He's got a few months. Cormier doesn't wish to retire till that birthday, which is in March. So he's got a few months. So I don't expect Lesnar to be champion beyond the Royal Rumble, but that's just me.
Interesting.
All righty. So we will hear from you for the six-pack challenge. We'll get you in studio for Survivor Series. And go say hi to the mouth on Sunday night if you are down a week from today at Maple Leaf Gardens forever for Ring of Honor Global Wars. Thanks, mouth.
All right. Take care, Jay.
We are taking a break here on Sunday night's main event, but we're back. There is still lots more to come. We got Meltzer, we got Turnbuckle Trivia, we got Dalton Castle, and it's all still to come. Stick with us. It is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. Get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today. WrestlingObserver.com.
Each week on Sunday night's main event, our Turnbuckle Trivia winner receives a t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. Well, now that t-shirt could be one of ours. Visit ProWrestlingTees.com/SNMEradio and get your official Sunday Night's Main Event t-shirt. It's got that nifty 80s parody logo and comes in your choice of white or black. Because unlike modern day wrestling, I prefer not to endorse shades of gray. Get your t-shirt today at ProWrestlingTees.com/SNMEradio.
But what's next? What's next? For the biggest superstar in all of WWE, the champ, Becky Lynch. Oh, you want Ronda? You want Ronda? You want the infamous Ronda Rousey? Ronda, you call yourself the baddest woman on the planet, but what planet? Because every single woman that you've stepped in the ring with was already beaten before the opening bell. But that's not how I'm built. I have traveled the world to smash people like you. So let me get this straight. I didn't come here to cosplay or talk about a reality TV show. I'm just walking into Survivor Series to rip your arm off. I don't give a damn about my
reputation. That was Becky Lynch's promo from this week on SmackDown. Welcome back, Sunday night's main event, TSN Radio. I did not want this to get lost this week. A lot of hype about UFC 230, a lot of hype about Crown Jewel. Let's not let Becky get lost in the shuffle. Rarely, when I watch things, do I go back and rewind, especially when it just comes to a promo. I watched this twice. This promo was excellent. Becky Lynch is the best female performer in the WWE right now. An amazing match with Charlotte last week, and then to walk out on SmackDown and give us this promo. The thing is, it's so simple. It's so simple what she did. Calling out Ronda Rousey. She's got attitude. She's got the crowd behind her. 2 weeks ago, I would not have cared about this match. But I watched this promo, and I get thinking that not only do you have a great promo by Becky, where did this come from? This character, the anti-hero here, this is Stone Cold to me. This is Stone Cold to me because the crowd has made Becky Lynch a babyface. But WWE is forcing her down our throats as a heel. A lot of Austin's mannerisms were completely heel, but the crowd adored him and accepted him and wanted him to be a babyface. And that's what's happened with Becky here. And the funny thing is, that's what the WWE wants out of Ronda Rousey. And Ronda has shown some promise, especially with that promo with the Bellas. So Ronda's doing well on the Raw side. Becky's doing amazing on the SmackDown side. And now you have these two together. And think about their finishers. This just hit me this week when I watched this. I'm like, they both have armbar finishers. This has potential to be an absolutely outstanding match and an absolutely outstanding, I don't know if I can call it a feud, because it's a one-off. And I'm actually slightly disappointed that it's a one-off. But I can't wait. I am so excited about the fact that we're getting Ronda versus Becky. Way more excited than what I thought we were going to get last week when Nia Jax was queued up as Ronda's next competitor, and we're probably going to get that at TLC. Doesn't excite me at all. We've seen that already. Becky versus Ronda's fresh. The parallels of the finisher, both are very good talkers. I can't wait. Count me in. This, after all the complaining about Crown Jewel, I just wanted to put this out there as a little segment to say this was the most positive and interesting thing this week on WWE TV. So kudos to WWE. Kudos to Becky Lynch, because despite what WWE wants her to be, she is being tremendous right now. That's all. Taking a break, coming back. Meltzer, Dalton Castle, Turnbuckle Trivia, all of that in Hour 2. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
I like that you're broken, broken like me. Maybe that makes me a fool.
If you'd like to hear the second hour of the show, please surf on over to patreon.com/SNMEradio. And for only $4 a month, you can get all of what we do at Sunday night's main event, meaning the weekly show, the uncut, unedited interviews, and bonus podcast content. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio.
The world of MLW Radio never stops.